News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. Former President Pranab Mukherjee, statesman, scholar, and one of India's most respected leaders across the political spectrum, died on Monday evening following a 21-day battle with multiple ailments. He was 84. Mukherjee was admitted to the Army's Research and Referral Hospital on August 10 and was operated for a removal of a clot in the brain the same day. He is survived by two sons and a daughter. The longtime Congress leader and seven-time parliamentarian, known for his encyclopedic memory and insights into varied issues, suffered a septic shock on Sunday and died of a cardiac arrest at 4:30 p.m., the hospital said. The mortal remains of the former president will be kept at his official residence, 10 Rajaji Marg, New Delhi, around 9 a.m. for dignitaries to pay tribute. An official statement said that due to social distancing norms and other related protocols, the mortal remains will proceed in hearse van instead of normal gun carriage. The funeral will be held at 2 p.m. on Tuesday at the Lodhi Road crematorium, his family said. The government announced 7-day state mourning from August 31 to September 6. The national flag will fly at half-mast on all buildings throughout India, where it is flown regularly, and there will be no official entertainment, the Home Ministry said in a statement. In a fresh confrontation in eastern Ladakh, the Chinese army carried out provocative military movements to unilaterally change the status quo on the southern bank of Pangong So Lake on the intervening night of August 29 and 30, but the attempt was thwarted by the Indian troops, the army said on Monday. Army spokesperson Colonel Aman Anand said troops from China's People's Liberation Army violated the consensus arrived at during military and diplomatic engagements on the ongoing standoff in eastern Ladakh and carried out provocative military movements to change the status quo. Government sources said a sizable number of Chinese troops were moving towards the southern bank of Pangong So Lake in an attempt to occupy the area, but the Indian Army quickly made significant deployment to foil the bid. The sources said there was no physical clash between the troops of the two sides during China's attempt to open a new front. The two sides were engaged in a confrontation on the northern bank of Pangong So Lake, but it was for the first time such an incident occurred on the southern bank, they said. It is the first major incident in the area after the Galwan Valley clashes on June 15, in which 20 Indian Army personnel were killed. China also suffered casualties, but it is yet to make the details public. But according to an American intelligence report, it was 35. In a statement, Colonel Anand said the Indian Army thwarted the Chinese intentions to unilaterally change facts on ground and undertook measures to strengthen Indian positions in the area. On the night of 29-30 August 2020, PLA troops violated the previous consensus arrived at during military and diplomatic engagements during the ongoing standoff in eastern Ladakh and carried out provocative military movements to change the status quo, he added. Indian troops preempted this PLA activity on the southern bank of Pangong So Lake, undertook measures to strengthen our positions and thwart Chinese intentions to unilaterally change facts on ground, the army spokesperson said. A brigade commander-level meeting was underway at Chushul to resolve the issues, he said. The spokesperson further said the Indian Army is committed to maintaining peace and tranquility through dialogue, but is also equally determined to protect India's territorial integrity. Government sources said the top strategic and military brass, including Defence Minister Rajnath Singh, External Affairs Minister S. Jaishankar, National Security Advisor Ajit Doval, Chief of Defence Staff General Bipin Rawat and the three service chiefs were briefed about the Chinese attempt in detail. China's Foreign Ministry spokesperson Zhao Lijian claimed its border troops always strictly abide by the line of actual control and never cross the line. Chinese border troops always strictly abide by the line of actual control. They never cross the line. Border troops on the two sides have been in close communication regarding the issues on the ground, the spokesperson said at a media briefing in Beijing in response to a question by a Japanese journalist about the fresh incident at Pangong So Lake. Asked if there was any meeting underway to resolve the issue, he said, "What I said is that the two sides, through diplomatic and military channels, maintain close communication. As to specific meetings and talks, if there is anything, we will release it in a timely manner." The Supreme Court on Monday imposed a token fine of ₹1 against activist lawyer Prashant Bhushan in the contempt case for his tweets against the judiciary. A bench headed by Justice Arun Mishra asked Bhushan to deposit the fine by September 15. failing which he will attract a jail term of 3 months and debarment from law practice for 3 years. Freedom of speech cannot be curtailed, but rights of others need to be respected, said the bench, also comprising Justices B.R. Gawai and Krishna Murari. The verdict said not only the bench had persuaded Bhushan to express regret, but Attorney General K.K. Venugopal had also opined that it was in the fitness of things that the contemner should express regret. The bench also noted that the statements of Bhushan submitted in the court were released to the media before they were taken on record. During an earlier hearing, the bench had orally observed that the sentence, if any, will not be enforced against Bhushan till the decision is taken on his plea seeking review of the judgment convicting him in the contempt case. On August 14, the Apex Court had held Bhushan guilty of criminal contempt for his 2 derogatory tweets against the judiciary and maintained they cannot be said to be a fair criticism of the functioning of the judiciary made in public interest. Bhushan, in a statement, had refused to offer an apology to the Supreme Court for the tweets, saying what he had expressed represented his bona fide belief, which he continued to hold. On August 25, senior advocate Rajiv Dhawan had urged the top court to show judicial statesmanship and not make Bhushan a martyr by punishing him for contempt over the tweets after the activist lawyer rejected fresh suggestions from the court for an apology. Dhawan, representing Bhushan, had suggested that the top court recall the August 14 verdict convicting the activist lawyer and not to impose any sentence. He urged it to not only close the case but also to bring an end to the controversy. Justice Mishra is demitting office on September 2. Getting an Amazon package delivered from the sky is closer to becoming a reality. America's Federal Aviation Administration said on Monday it had granted Amazon approval to deliver packages by drones. Amazon said that the approval is an important step, but added that it is still testing and flying the drones. It did not say when it expected drones to make deliveries to shoppers. The online shopping giant has been working on drone delivery for years, but it has been slowed by regulatory hurdles. Back in December 2013, Amazon CEO and founder Jeff Bezos said in a TV interview that drones would be flying to customers' homes within 5 years. Last year, Amazon unveiled self-piloting drones that are fully electric, can carry 5 pounds of goods, and are designed to deliver items in 30 minutes by dropping them in a backyard. At the time, an Amazon executive said deliveries to shoppers would be happening within months, but more than 14 months have passed since then. Seattle-based Amazon is the 3rd drone delivery service to win flight approval, the FAA said. Delivery company UPS and a company owned by search giant Google won approval last year. And American R&B singer Akon is moving ahead with plans to create a futuristic Pan-African city, announcing on Monday that construction will begin next year on the $6 billion project, despite global tourism's uncertain future. Akon, who first announced his idea for the utopian city back in 2018, has described it as a real-life Wakanda, comparing it to the technologically advanced fictional African place portrayed in the blockbuster film Black Panther. On Monday, Akon said he hoped his project would provide much-needed jobs for Senegalese and also serve as a home back home for Black Americans and others facing racial injustices. The system back home treats them unfairly in so many different ways that you can never imagine, and they only go through it because they feel that there is no other way, he said. So if you're coming from America, Europe, or elsewhere in the diaspora and you feel that you want to visit Africa, we want Senegal to be your first stop. Akon, who was born in the United States to Senegalese parents, spent much of his childhood in the West African country, where in only 44% of rural households had electricity, even in 2018. Senegalese authorities have embraced him as a native son, introducing him by his given name Alouan Thiam and praising him for investing in Africa at a time of such global financial uncertainty. On Monday, he traveled with government officials to the grassy fields in Mobdien from 100 kilometers outside the capital, where construction has yet to begin. Tourism Minister Elouan Sarr said Akon's launch comes at a time when private investment is scarce and badly needed. International flights have resumed in Senegal, but at the moment are only for citizens and residents, with a few exceptions. Akon said the project already has secured about 1/3 of the $6 billion needed, but declined to publicly identify his investors, citing non-disclosure agreements. After construction begins in early 2021, the first phase of the project alone could take more than 3 years, he said. The almost surrealist water-like designs of Akon City were inspired by the shapes of traditional sculptures long made in Africa's villages, he said. However, the gleaming structures of Akon City will be made of metal and glass, not wood. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening, stay safe, and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.